whose sandal I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. In Nihongo, we have Atoshi no Yuga.
Nihongo de Matai 3章の11節から12節を拝読いたします。私はあなた方が悔い改めるために水のバプテスマを授けていますが、私の後から来られる方は私よりもさらに力のある方です。私はその方の履物を脱がせてあげる値打ちもありません。その方はあなた方に聖霊と人のバプテスマをお授けになります。手に蓑を持っておられ、ご自分の脱穀場を隅々まで清められます。麦を蔵に納め、殻を消えない火で焼き尽くされます。
Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good, good, good. Why don't we stand up and greet our neighbors and say hi and bless our neighbors. All right. Well, before today's message, we have a testimony by Kazuyo-san, and so. I'm excited to hear the testimony. So, if you would welcome Kazuyo.
Tamao-san, both English to Japanese? Ah, so desu ka? First of all, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to share my mother's salvation with you today. Acts chapter 16:31 reads, Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. You and your household. This verse is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It gives me hope to pray for the salvation of my family members, no matter what the reality may look like. My mother came to visit me in Tucson from Japan last month. She was here for 3 weeks. I never expected that her stay would turn out the way it did. To make a long story short, my mother prayed the sinner's prayer. In other words, she prayed the salvation prayer led by Pastor Aki after the worship service on July 15th. It was the very first time for my mother to visit JCCT. I took my mother to Pastor Aki and Mandy after worship service. It was first to introduce my mother to them and to have them pray for her. God gave Pastor Aki words of knowledge concerning her physical condition and other issues. What Aki mentioned was right on target. It amazed my mother, and I believe it led my mother to the Lord. Let me briefly explain what word of knowledge is. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of a certain fact or facts. It is an instant word for a particular time or person or to accomplish a special purpose. God uses it to draw people to him. It is listed one of the spiritual gifts in the Bible. I have been praying for my mother's salvation for nearly 20 years. Shortly after my mother arrived in Tucson, I was prompted to pray that she will receive physical healing and salvation of of her soul before she would go back to Japan. Though I prayed in my mind, 3 weeks would not be enough time for things to happen. It seems impossible. Good thing we have a God who can turn what seems impossible into the possible. On the night of July 14th, I thought I heard a voice saying, it wasn't audible, just an inner voice saying, why don't you ask if your mother would like to accept Christ? However, I did not ask. I didn't have the gut to ask. I thought she may be offended. In fact, I had offended her a number of times in the past because of my Christian beliefs. I said to myself, not now, not while she's in Tucson. So I did not ask. So I believe God used Pastor Aki to do it for me the next day, which was July 15th. We have a God who is always faithful even when we are faithless. I'm so thankful for that. My family went on a family trip on July 16th. I needed to follow up my mother since she accepted Christ, but somehow I could not. I was getting frustrated. I prayed that God would give me the wisdom to do this before she would go back. 2 days before my mother's return to Japan, one of my Christian friends, I'll call her a missionary in this sharing, my mother and I had lunch at the Japanese restaurant. At this restaurant, I told missionary that my mother prayed the sinner's prayer on July 15th. Missionary offered to pray for my mother after lunch, and my mother gladly accepted her offer. We went to missionary's house. I was their interpreter. Upon the arrival of missionary's house, she started teaching my mother the spiritual gift from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and also taught God's healing power, love, and more. Then missionary anointed me with olive oil and prayed for me first. Missionary, being baptized with the Holy Spirit 3 years ago, prays in tongues. She laid her hands on me. The power and anointing from God flowing into me through missionary was so strong that I too started praying in tongues. Speaking in tongues is also listed as one of the spiritual gifts in the Bible. This gift was given by the Holy Spirit to the Christian church and is for the purpose of the edification of the body of Christ, as well as glorifying the Lord. I never prayed in tongues in front of people up to that day before. I used this gift as a private prayer language, so therefore it may not be interpreted. While praying in tongues, I thought that my mother would think that missionary and I were not. I remember Apostle Paul saying in the Bible, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You can find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What am I doing here? I thought. Well, yet I could not stop praying and actually felt great. After this, missionary anointed my mother with olive oil and prayed in tongues. Missionary and I both laid our hands upon my mother. I told my mother what the missionary was teaching is biblical. Do not worry, we are not religious nuts. Her response was that she does not think we are nuts. She can believe and trust what we are teaching her. She seems to be rather enjoying the teaching and the fellowship. After missionary prayed for my mother, she prompted me to pray for my mother. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be her guide in her life from now on. My mother's heart was so open and receptive on that day. What missionary taught my mother on that day was a word in due season. When missionary asked my mother what her greatest fear was, my mother's answer was to get sick. Missionary's teaching assured my mother of God's healing power and love. My mother and I stayed at missionary's house for 3 hours. We were physically exhausted, but spiritually energized. The follow-up done through missionary was more than I expected or imagined. On the day she left for Japan, she told me that she has now joy and is not afraid of getting sick. I praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kazuyo-san. That was powerful. And that's our vision here at JCCT is that when people come, they would encounter the Lord, whether it be through salvation, through healing, through joy, through however the Holy Spirit wants to work. But that is our vision, that the Lord would touch each and every one of us every time we gather and even outside of these walls of worship. So praise God. Thank you so much for sharing that. And let's continue to keep her mother in prayer. You know, the hardest thing for Christians is, especially for Japanese Christians, is, you know, to maintain fellowship and growth in Japan. It's just a lot more difficult to do that there than it is here sometimes. But let me pray for our time. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and you would fill this place with your presence. Yes, Lord, we just ask that you would allow us to have a greater revelation of the Father's love, to have a greater revelation of you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would teach us your ways. We thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We lift this time up to you, Lord. We pray it would bring a big smile on your face, God. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. We're doing a series of teachings on baptisms. Last week we had Kazumi's baptism, and it was a wonderful time. And last week we spoke about the different baptism that are taught in the Bible. And as we read in Matthew's account, John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one after me will come, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so there are several types of baptisms. John's baptism signified repentance. Repentance meaning change of direction because of a change of mind and attitude. Changing directions. And I gave the example of, you know, the frustration of driving and going in the wrong direction. Changing direction is important, and it's the beginning of our journey with Christ. Repentance also means an invitation to receive God's mercy and grace. It's opening the door for the Lord to come in and bless our lives. In Revelation, it talks about Jesus saying, "I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I'll come in and eat with them." Intimacy, fellowship. So the baptism of repentance of water is very important. But that's not the only baptism there is available for us as believers, as Christians. John specifically said, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But there'll be one that comes after me who's more powerful than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so today I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the significance of that. Again, the water baptism is important. And the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is just as important. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You may be saying, "Well, I'm Christian. Don't I have the Holy Spirit in me once I ask Jesus in my heart?" And the answer is yes. You do have the Holy Spirit once you ask Jesus in your heart, but there's a difference There's a difference between being sealed with the Holy Spirit and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we'll talk about today, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is the Lord, right before he's going to go to heaven and sit at the right hand of God, he says this to his disciples. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. It's about power. Power over sin, power over evil, and power to do His will. And it's important that we Christians know the power of the Holy Spirit and are using the power of the Holy Spirit, because without power, we will not be able to do His will. It takes power, and that's why the Lord gave us this power. Now, some of us, we may be living the Christian life and maybe missing out on all that God has for us because we're just ignorant and don't know about His power, or we're just not seeking it. But it is available for each and every one of us. Again, Jesus told His disciples who were sealed with the Holy Spirit, He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And what did the disciples do after that? They started praying. They met together, they started praying, and they started seeking the Lord. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, this is probably the most important passage on the Holy Spirit. Some say this is the birth of the church as we know it, but in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost came..." And by the way, Pentecost was a day where Jewish people, they celebrated the day that the law was given. The day that the Ten Commandments was given. So when the day of Pentecost, the day they celebrated the giving of the law, it says this, "They were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." It's interesting how on the day that signifies the giving of the law, that the Lord would choose that day to give the Holy Spirit. There are several prophecies in the Old Testament. Let me read a couple of them. In Ezekiel 11:19, the Lord said, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God." This is a prophecy saying, "I will put my spirit in them so that they will be able to follow the law." In Ezekiel 36:25, it says, "I will sprinkle clean on you and you will be cleansed. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." The power of the Holy Spirit, the significance of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is this. One of it is the power to overcome sin in our lives. It is the power to overcome sin in our lives. For those of you who don't know, we're a holiness conference denomination, and holiness comes from the Methodist. The founder of the Methodist, his name is John Wesley, and he talked about a second work of grace. He said the first work of grace is salvation, but the second work of grace is sanctification, and that's only through the Holy Spirit. And there's been several prominent leaders in the church who said, you know, they had trouble with sin. There was one man named Charles Cowman, who's actually the founder of the holiness movement. But he said, after a year of being a Christian, he noticed that it was difficult for him to live a life that he felt was pleasing to God. There was one time when Charles Calvin, he just exploded in anger towards one of his workers. And after that, he knew that there was something wrong with him. And so he sought out his spiritual mentor, and his spiritual mentor said, "Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit?" And Charles Calvin didn't really know what he was talking about, and he said, "I encourage you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." And after that, Charles Calvin, he sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he said there a significant day in his life when he was baptized, and after that day, he was able to hold his temper. Now, I know for some of you who've asked the Lord into your life, there was an instantaneous change for some sin behavior. For those of you who don't know me, I was a heathen till I was 19. I became saved at 19. I grew up in a typical Japanese home. They were Shinto Buddhist, and my parents, they didn't speak English too well. And I have two older brothers, and we just spoke English to each other, and we spoke kind of like broken Japanese to my parents, you know, the basics: I'm hungry, pick me up, no, yeah, onaka suita. But growing up, my brother and I, we just, we weren't really disciplined to, we had foul mouth. Every other word was like a curse word, pretty much. If you ever meet my middle brother, you know, it's just natural. Every other word is a curse word. I remember one time we were next to our friend. We were talking to our friend, and our friend's son was there, and his little kid. And my brother, he just doesn't have a filter, and every other word was a bad word. And I'm like, "Mas, you know, you need to calm down. There's a little kid there." And he was like, he was so oblivious that he was using that because it was so natural for him. I was the same way. Every other word was a curse word. For some reason, though, after I received Christ, I wasn't able to say a bad word. These days, I can say bad words. I choose not to. But it was an instantaneous word. And I know in some of your lives you've had that before. I know my wife, her mother was the same way. She would cuss not all the time, but if something happened, the natural reaction was to curse. And then I guess one day after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the power of cussing was broken. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like there's a sin, a habitual sin, or something that's overpowering you in a way that you feel like, "Man, I need help in this area," ask the Holy Spirit. Seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It will give you power over sin. Now, the doctrine of the second work of grace, it talks about Christian perfection, and I don't believe in this side of heaven any of us will be perfected, but I believe the process of perfection is possible. And that is only through the work of the Holy Spirit. And of course, in Galatians 16 through 23, it talks about live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And it goes on to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So for those of you who are struggling with sin, I encourage you, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It will do wonders. What your efforts couldn't do, the Holy Spirit can do in an instant. It can transform your life. Another power the Holy Spirit is here to give us is power over evil. Now, we live in an age that there are two kingdoms. Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he started preaching the kingdom of heaven. And he said, "The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is in your midst." What that meant is there is an opposite and opposing kingdom. There's the kingdom of heaven and then the kingdom of this world. And Jesus came to bring his kingdom. And if you look at the life of Jesus, He came not only to bring his kingdom, but to dismantle the kingdom of this world. And how did he do it? He dismantled it by curing the sick, healing those that were blind, the lame, the leper. And so when I say it's power over evil, it's an authority we have as believers through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus' name. That each and every one of us as believers, we have a certain amount of authority. If you turn with me real quick to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Now, to set this story up, Jesus has disciples by this time. And he tells the disciples, he commissions the disciples out to go and preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and to heal the sick, and preach the good news to the poor. And they come back, and let me read it from there. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemies. Nothing will harm you." Jesus gave authority not to just the 12 first disciples, but here clearly the 72. These were not apostles, these were just simply followers. Jesus gave them authority to cast out demons and to destroy Satan's kingdom. We too had that same authority. Now, I don't want you to misread this part of scriptures. There are some churches, now I'm not trying to criticize any churches, but there are some churches that handle snakes and scorpions. I don't want you going and doing that, okay? let me tell you, this past week I had my first encounter with a scorpion. Yes, Tucson, if you don't know, Tucson has scorpions, tarantulas, there's a lot of stuff. I'm not originally from Tucson. Anyways, so I saw a scorpion, and I did not try to trample it. I did kill it, but I don't want us to misuse this portion of scripture. I do believe if you do get stung by a scorpion or bit by a snake, pray as you go to the hospital. Pray. But we do have power over the enemy. I think this was symbolic of the enemy, snakes and scorpions, and. The more we realize we have that authority, and the more we use it, the more we grow in it, the more effective we'll be. Some of you are being attacked by the enemy today. Some of you go home and maybe there's just a darkness in your home, or maybe a heaviness in your home. If you have that, I want to tell you right now, you have authority if it is from the enemy. If there's a darkness and a heaviness over your life, I want you to use that authority. I want you to say, in Jesus' name, by the power that of the Holy Spirit and the authority that's given to me by God, I command you, heaviness, to leave right now. And I want you to keep doing that until it leaves. You know, sometimes we do something once, and then it doesn't work, and we say, "Oh, I guess it's not for me." But that's not how it works in the kingdom. I want you to pray and keep praying. That's what the Lord taught us. To have authority, we need to practice it, we need to use it. It's sort of like, I've used this example, it's sort of like a police officer with authority with a badge. Sometimes when they use it and say stop, the thief will stop. Other times the thief may run. And the police officer, he just needs to learn how to use that authority. Now, it's not power to stop an oncoming traffic, but it's an authority to stop it. And we have that authority, and I want us to continue to grow in it. It's authority over sickness, authority over disease, authority over natural disaster, and authority over poverty. Jesus displayed all of these things while he was in his own ministry, and I believe that we can, in some measures, do the same. Amen? And finally, the Holy Spirit will give us the power to do His will. In Acts 9:31, it talks about the Holy Spirit encouraging the saints. In Luke 10:21, it says, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, worshiped the Father. And again, in Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it will give us power, it will give us peace, it will give us joy, it will give us encouragement. If for those of you today who needs peace, joy, encouragement, the power to witness, it comes through the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It will also give us instruction. In Luke 12:12, it says the Holy Spirit will teach you what you will say. In John 14:26, it says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And for those of us who, sometimes we have decisions and choices in life and we want to know what is the will of the Lord. Do you guys ever have that? Is that just me? Okay, good. It's not just me. There are times in our lives when we're going to have choices. And they both seem good. In Acts 13:12, it says, While they were praying, worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I called you. The Holy Spirit said, I want to know what the Holy Spirit, if that was an audible voice or what, but the Holy Spirit gave them instruction during that time. When they were fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas to do the work of a missionary. And I believe it'll do the same for you too. If you're wondering, is it the will of the Lord to do this or that, ask them. And the Holy Spirit will speak. I believe He will. And finally, it will equip us. In Romans 12:6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11, and Ephesians 4:11, Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to talk about them today, but hopefully I'll get to talk about them one of these days. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant to equip us. Kazuo kind of mentioned several of them. The gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of tongues. It also talks about gift of prophecy, the gift of wisdom, gift of interpretation. I don't know all of them off the top of my head. The gift of evangelism, the gift of leadership, the gift of helping. You are all given a gift, but sometimes it needs to be activated by the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, it is different. Sometimes we get the whole package. Sometimes, some of us, when we are baptized in water, we're also baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what happened with Jesus' case. But at other times, it's not. Biblically, there were times when people were baptized and never received the Holy Spirit until somebody came and laid their hands on them. And so today, if you're not sure, if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, I want to give you some ways and methods that you can receive Him. And then I'll pray after that we will receive the Holy Spirit. Sounds good? You guys awake? Amen. All right. So the first thing is ask. If you never received the Holy Spirit, ask. In Luke 11:11, Jesus says this: "Which of you fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Simply ask. Ask and you shall receive. In Acts 4:31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So they asked through prayer. And you got to understand that this, in Acts 4:31, it was the same disciples, the same apostles that were filled in Acts 2. And so they weren't just satisfied with that one time. It so happened that a couple of years later, probably about 20 years later, they felt the need to ask for more of the Lord, for more of the Holy Spirit, and God honored that asking. And they filled them. And what did it say? It says, they spoke the word of God boldly. Now some of us, I think it's difficult for us to speak the word of God boldly, right? Especially when it comes to our parents. I mean, sometimes it's hard to speak the word of God boldly. What did the apostles do? They asked the Holy Spirit to fill them, to baptize them, to be filled again. So first is ask. Second, seek. Several instances in the book of Acts, whether it's Peter or Paul, it's after they laid hands on people, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me read one of them to you. In Acts 8:17, it says, "Then Peter and John placed their hands on the believers, and they received the Holy Spirit." Again, in Acts 19:6, Paul asked the believers, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" They said, "No, we've only received John's baptism." And Paul prayed for them, laying hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. So first ask, and if asking doesn't work, I want you to seek. Seek people that are anointed, that you see the power of God working in their lives, and ask them to pray for you. That's what happened in the Bible. Several key leaders placed their hands on disciples, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And finally, believe. In Galatians 3:5, Paul said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit because of your works? Wasn't it because you believed?" Ask, seek, and believe. That the Holy Spirit is available for each and every one of us who believes in the Lord Jesus, who asks Him earnestly, and who continue to seek Him, who are hungry for the Lord. And so for those of you who feel like you're powerless to some sin, or for those of you who just feel like you need power over the enemy, over your life, or even over somebody else's life, or for those of you who would like more power in direction, instruction, or to be equipped to do His will, the Holy Spirit is available to you, for you. Amen. So we're going to do another exercise today. You excited? I want you to believe. I want you to put your hands out like this. We've done this before, but I want you to do it again. Like you're about to receive something. I'm going to give you some instructions. I'm going to ask you to pray, "Holy Spirit, come." And as you pray that, I want you to believe He'll come. And for some of you, as you say, "Holy Spirit, come," you'll feel something. Whether it's tingling in your hands, warmth, wind, And as you feel that, don't be afraid. But just continue to ask more, Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us in different ways. Sometimes He speaks to us in a still small voice, but sometimes He likes to speak to us in, for some way, tingling, or heat, or wind. So let's all close our eyes and come before the Lord and pray this. Say, Holy Spirit, come. And just wait for Him. Father, I ask for Your baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pray for a greater measure of Your Spirit, Lord. Those of you who do feel something, could you wave at me? Okay. Yeah, Lord, more, Father. Give them more. More of Your Spirit, Lord. Power over sin, authority over evil, power to do Your will, Lord. Even now, I pray that You would activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. That they will have a greater measure of being able to hear Your voice, Lord. Father, we thank You for this time and we pray that You will continue, Lord, to minister, encourage, fill us with joy, fill us with Your peace, fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit. We thank You for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.